This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Situation that Aria wanted to talk about. We'll get into that coming up here in a little bit.
Yeah, because I love Taylor Swift.
Do you?
No.
I don't even know who she is. I mean, I've heard the name, but
country music star who turned to a pop star, basically.
The most successful musician in the world at the moment.
Is that right? More than Kanye West?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think she's the only artist to ever hold all 10 of the top 10 songs at a given time, like when her latest album came out, like the top 10 played songs, I don't remember the metric, but they were all her songs on that album.
That is impressive.
Yeah, I think
she's never heard of such a thing.
All right, we can talk about all that coming up here, but of course your calls and thoughts come first. We're going to go to the phones, the number 603-283-6160. Plus, Mark, you want to talk about Stop and Frisk down in Mexico City, but first we go to Tim in Florida. You're on Free Talk Live. Tim.
Well, I don't know anything about transsexuals playing sports, but when I think about transvestites playing sports, you know, I'm cracking.
That sounds funny.
I guess you want to try that again?
What's the difference between a transvestite and a transsexual?
Well, transvestite is a showman, right?
Does anyone know the answer?
I think transvestite is just a deprecated term that no one uses anymore that would effectively mean, you know...
I thought it was the same as drag queen.
Yeah, I think so.
All right,
anyway,
let's see if I can figure it out.
So when I think of a transvestite playing sports, I immediately see Jamie Farr has Klinger in MASH playing baseball in a wedding dress.
Okay.
Yep, I think that's what one would be and it would be expected to think of. Yep.
Transvestite, according to psychiatry, a person sometimes assigned male at birth who assumes the dress and manner usually associated with a different sex for psychological or sexual gratification. It also means cross-dresser. So,
he can chug a Bud Light after he hits the home run.
All right. Thanks for the call tonight, Tim.
I bought a friend a shirt today that says, I drank one Bud Light and now I'm a bottom. And, that's my favorite shirt right now.
Let's go to the phones here. We got Skeeter on the line in California. Skeeter.
Yeah, hey. Just felt the need to call in and then defend myself from Bonnie when she misrepresented me after you guys hung up on me.
Before you go on, I'm going to give you a little tip here. I've done this show for 20 years, and I can tell you there's nothing more frustrating as the first seat. That's what Ian's doing tonight. There's nothing more frustrating at the first seat than somebody who wants to call in and talk about something that happened in the past with somebody who's about somebody who's not on the show tonight.
You allowed her to misrepresent me when you guys hung up on me.
So I didn't allow her to do anything. I didn't know what you were trying to say.
I know, but she represented. She started talking about the history between me and her, which is only two calls. So she kind of like made it seem like, I did call a lot like last week, but only two of the calls were with her and Aria at the same time. And then she misrepresented that, saying that I only call in and I say, oh, right.
Okay, we're going to have the conversation anyway after I told you that it's very frustrating as the first C, right? You do know that's going to abbreviate your call. When Ian's frustrated, when the person in the first seat,
I'm just wondering how long he's going to go on for about this.
Tell him. This is as fair of a warning as they get, Skeeter, is that when you're in the first seat, and I've been there many a times, and I will just dump them. If I'm sick of listening to the crap, goodbye. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, this
why don't you use this opportunity instead of complaining about what one host said about you last night? Why don't you use this as the opportunity to express the thing that you had said last night that you were going to tell us about before you kept getting distracted by expressing how much you didn't want to talk to Bonnie, even though you called on the night Bonnie was on.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a slightly different topic because I was talking about rights when with her calls, I was talking about the non-aggression principle and the definition of aggression. So, like,
oh,
I,
you're that
I was
guy.
Rehash. Yeah, yeah. Hi, Aaron. Hi.
All right. Yeah, so, what were you going to call
exactly
about?
I was going to rehash the exact scenario I gave them and give you guys a crack at it. But also, like, in the meantime, like, you'll see, like, I wasn't just calling and say, "Hey, rights are ridiculous, right? Right."
But that was what
so
you were saying, right?
I'm going to challenge you guys on the non-aggression principle. But I'm going to give the background of the exact scenario I gave them, which they tried to avoid.
Okay. I'm ready to hear it. I am the best at answering direct questions. Give it to me. I'm ready.
Yeah, that's one funny thing. But, okay, so I heard them talking about the non-aggression principle, how principled you guys are. And they gave a definition of aggression. Aria gave the definition of aggression. So I called in. I challenged them, right? Because she gave the definition of initiation of force is wrong, right? It should never be used. The non-aggression principle, that's what it says, right? So I called in. Yeah. What's your definition? I just heard you say the definition of aggression, initiation of force. How come that doesn't apply to, let's say, kids, right? Because and then they agreed, like the blonde-haired girl agreed that they would aggress against their kid from stopping them from making decisions. I think I gave the specific example of a kid wanting to commit suicide, right? I mean, there's other things, too, like, you know, consensual sex, financial decisions.
Dude, if it's Nikki anyway. You want to talk to, she will be on tomorrow.
I think he wants to ask Mark
question. I'm just saying.
He wants to talk about how he got Nikki and Aria and Bonnie last Wednesday.
Well, it sounds like he said he wanted to ask Mark the same question.
I'm ready to answer the question. If it is acceptable by libertarian principles to aggress against kids. Is that the question?
Yeah, but I also wanted, like, complete, like, what exactly happened. So I just wanted to defend myself because she portrayed me like some...
Okay, so you just want to keep living in the past and talking about what somebody said to you on another show. But you did get the question out, kind of. So I'm going to put you on hold here, Mark. Now, as a father, you've actually had to deal with this situation. I think you actually told us about one time when, I don't know if it was Jack... was, like, running toward the road at your old house, and you had to grab him, right? Like,
pick him up, right?
Yeah.
I stopped his volition of running out into a busy highway. Another time, I had to go somewhere, and I can't leave him sitting there on his own playing with, cookies and Batman figures. We got to go. And, he didn't want to get in the car seat at that moment. So, little push, little click, and off we go. I mean, that's kidnapping when you do it to an adult.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do it to your kid, it's just getting them in the car. I think that libertarianism is very clear when it talks about it, that it talks about adults, right? Like adults initiating force. Now, we don't generally say when we talk about the non-aggression principle, we don't use the term adult to describe it, but that's the caveat that's often used. Another point that I would make is that, and this doesn't always go so well, is that I'm not the individualist that I was prior to having kids. What I've learned is that the basic human group is the family. And now there are individuals in the family, and they can choose to leave the family when they want, but they also have the consequences of leaving the family. So if I decide to, leave my theoretical family and go someplace else, I can't expect my theoretical wife to have sex with me whenever I want. I can't expect my meal to be made for me. I can't expect a whole variety of things. So a young person who, wants to act like an adult can't expect everything that young people get done for them to be done for them. And ultimately, they're going to probably not like that. Like, because mostly, one of the things that sort of distinguishes an adolescent is somebody who wants to act like an adult when they want to act like an adult and wants to act like a child when they want to act like a child.
All right. And I just want to add in here, maybe before I go against my better decisions and put Skeeter back on the line to respond to that. We talked about this within the last few weeks on the show. I don't know if it was Skeeter who called in that led this conversation, but this conversation did come up where I had brought up the idea that, from my perspective, was that the non-aggression principle wasn't a perfect principle, that there were certain times at which it just, you know, needs to be discarded. And we talked about the cases of, like, grabbing a kid before it runs out in front of a car, or in the case of adults, a crazy person who might be a danger to themselves or others. And it led to some interesting disagreements.
Or the pushing the person out from in front of the bus, right?
That,
like,
one.
The person who's not looking and a bus is barreling down on them and going to kill them, and you grab them in a, you know, football tackle and knock them to the ground. They abrade their arms, maybe they get whiplash.
They're in.
You know, and they're like, my God, I can't believe you aggressed against me. You know, that person probably needs a sock shoved in their mouth.
Right, and the discussion we were having when he called Wednesday was he wanted that definition. He wanted us to define aggression or nonviolence. He wanted us to define something, and as I explained to him then, my position on definition had severely changed the previous 48 hours, and it still is different. I'm not going to sit and argue about what Webster says a word means. To me, that's fruitless. It gets us nowhere.
What I wanted to say was that after we had the conversation on the air about, you know, the non-aggression principle not being a perfect principle, Bonnie had a conversation with me after the show when we were out walking Coconut later that night, and she made the argument that it was kind of an interesting one, and I'm sure I can't exactly recount it here, so hopefully I won't brutalize it too badly in my attempt to recount it.
If not, she can call us some night you're not on.
Correct me on it.
Talk to you about it.
Yeah. And she kind of made the argument that it was not aggression to do, for instance, taking your kid out from, you know, the roadway where they've run into, or et cetera, because it is essentially an act of defensive force in that case. It is not an, you know, it wasn't a violation of the non-aggression principle because it just didn't qualify as aggression. It was an interesting viewpoint. I'm not sure if I've been persuaded on it yet or not, and I'm also not sure if I recounted it correctly. Anyway, with that in mind, Skeeter, did you want to respond to what Mark said to you?
You guys took your turns. I forgot even what Mark originally said. I was like trying to remember each one of your points that I wanted to address. That's the problem.
Address any of the points you want.
Okay, so let me start off by saying I wasn't part of that call with whatever, like you admitting that the non-aggression principle is inadequate for a moral theory. Like, you need more. At least some add-on.
You know, we've always said that it's not a moral theory.
Yeah, I've always said
that. That's a place to start.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Can I talk? So Aria and Aria, Bonnie, and what's the blonde chick's name?
Nikki.
Yeah. Nikki. They were adamantly trying to adhere to it instead of admitting like it's inadequate. That's the difference. And you know the other thing? There's a big thing, a big problem. Earlier you said, Aria, that you prefer more precise language than imprecise language.
Well, before you go on, Skeeter, I just want to add in here, and I think you were about to say this, Aria. We have frequently said for many years on Free Talk Live that in order to have a good, functional, honest society, you have to have more than the non-aggression principle. The non-aggression principle is nothing more than a baseline expectation of don't hurt people.
It is a bare minimum of acceptable behavior.
Yeah, but there's so much more that goes into having a good society, like having people being, you know, generous and honest, and there's all kinds of things that people should be doing and how they treat other human beings that are much higher level than just simply non-aggression.
Right. I think without the non-aggression principle, without a violation of the non-aggression principle, that there is no good grievance against somebody. Like, you can dislike them, or you can say, I think they're stupid, or whatever the grievance is. But that not, without those things, you can't sort of get any kind of recompense from them.
Okay. Okay, so also the scenario I gave them was suicide, not somewhere where someone doesn't know danger's coming, and you know you're saving them, and they're not aware of the situation. They intentionally want to kill themselves, right?
Yep.
But anyway,
I'd stop them.
Beside the case, when you make an argument, so it's a slippery slope. When you make an argument that you as a parent, and it gets hairy there. Does the parent only have that decision where they can make, and then you,
dude, I stop anybody who's attempting to.
Holy crap, dude, you stop in the middle of every sentence and start a completely new one.
Yeah, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, why don't we focus on the suicide question here, Skeeter?
Because you guys trained me. You guys.
No, I don't think you can blame us on this one, Skeeter. I think this has to do with the way you communicate, or the lack of.
You guys give 3 points, and I can't address one at a time. Like,
all right, well, thank you for trying. Thank you for the call tonight.
He brings up this point every time he calls. Like, yes, there are three people on the show, man. That's the show. It's the nature of the beast.
You just pick one, and you focus on the one. Okay, it's not that hard to do.
What they want to do is they want to call in and they want to pick on Bonnie or pick on me, or they want to pick out the person that they think is going to be the easiest to challenge. They just want to ignore everyone else and make everyone else shut up so they can just argue with this one person. And no.
But let's talk about the suicide question. I think that's an interesting one, Mark. You said you would stop the person.
I would stop an adult, a child, anyone that I thought was attempting to commit suicide. I'm of the opinion that it is a short-sighted action, and that if you're out in public doing it, you're creating a mess for somebody else to clean up.
That was true.
And it's very basic.
Right. So we got to remove that and the law from the equation in the first place, because in modern American society, if you let someone kill themselves, you're probably going to be charged with some sort of manslaughter, I would imagine. Like, if you know they're going to kill themselves.
If somebody's jumping off a bridge and you're walking by, you're not going to get in trouble for it. But okay. I could as a person with Red Cross certifications.
Let's say they're doing it in the comfort of their home. They're not doing this out in public. They're not going to blow their brains out in front of any children or any of these other things. It's just straight up suicide. That's it.
But then you probably wouldn't know about it, right?
Well, for whatever reason you know about it. They text you like, hey, I'm about to kill myself, so can you come get my dog tomorrow or whatever?
Okay.
I think the best suicide I'd ever heard of was actually like a relative of one of the hosts of Free Talk Live at the time. It's been close to 15 years, I'm sure. And she went out into the woods when it was, deadly cold in New Hampshire. And she didn't come back. She brought a bottle of liquor and she never came back. Now, there's a problem.
Helium is so much better than that.
Look, I'm not giving people advice on how to commit suicide.
They should minimize their suffering if they're going to kill themselves.
They should minimize the freaking mess they're going to make all over the wall.
Well, yeah, helium is going to do that, too. Like,
what do you do with helium?
It suffocates you, but because your body doesn't produce carbon dioxide when you exhale, because it's just helium, it doesn't trigger the panic reflex, so you just sort of pass out and fall asleep and die.
I think as far as whether or not to stop someone committing suicide, I think it has to do with, well, what are their reasons for committing suicide? Is this someone with
stop them?
A terminal?
They can do it. If they want to do it, they can do it again later. Really, like, what have I cost them in time and money?
You made them stay alive.
Yeah, I mean,
so what? I'm willing to do it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't feel like I should go against someone.
I'm willing to violate the non-aggression principle in this circumstance.
I get it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sure
I don't agree, but I get it.
Yeah, I would tend to lean against stopping from someone from committing suicide simply because it's not my decision. I don't feel like it's my decision to make. If they want to kill themselves, then they've got some sort of reason for that, whether it's rational or irrational. It could be someone who has a terminal illness. And they've decided that they, they're a burden to their family and they don't want to go on living. Or it could just be somebody who's suffering from a bout of depression and they would pull out of it and they would have a better life down the line. In many cases, I wouldn't know one way or another. And I just don't feel like it.
I think it's context specific, right? Like if it was just some 16-year-old girl who was cutting herself, like, okay, look, first of all, no, just relax. Stay off the internet. Stay away from the bullies or whatever. You'll be fine. You're not fat. Stay off Instagram, whatever. But if it was someone who, like, some 40-year-old dad who just lost his kids in the divorce and he's living out of, the heroin hotel over here on West Street and, he's got nothing to live for. He's like, I'm just going to kill myself. Like, these are two very different situations. And one of those, like with the teenager who's just depressed or anxiety or whatever, you can reasonably talk them out of it. They'll almost certainly be glad they stayed alive. But some people, they're past any point of hope. And if they want to kill themselves, I'm not going to stop them. I'll offer them suggestions on doing it without making a mess.
My thought process on it is that if they're really beyond hope or whatever, and they can do it when I'm not passing by, like, they'll have another opportunity.
All right.
I think it's selfish to want someone else to stay alive because it would inconvenience you if they didn't.
Wouldn't call it an inconvenience. You know what's an inconvenience? Stopping and bothering with somebody who had, you know, takes the trouble of killing themselves out in public.
We removed the public thing from the scenario. No one.
Well, I'm not going into these people's houses. Hey, are you committing suicide in there? I'm not knocking on doors seeing if people are committing suicide in their house.
So we're having a discussion about an imaginary situation that's never going to come up. That sounds like libertarians, man. So we're having a discussion about the imaginary person who's going to kill themselves out in the streets in front of the imaginary children and traumatize them for life because they're going to use a gun. It's going to be imaginarily traumatizing.
But to go back to the outside idea.
Somebody has to, in that household, and now you're talking about helium, and I think that's a much better choice. The first thing is don't make a mess. But, I mean, for instance, ServPro has to come in and clean the brains off the wall every single day in this country. And that's a really crappy thing to do to somebody's psyche.
Oh, I agree. That's why I talk about, helium. Hey, Lou, people, if you're going to kill yourself, don't use a gun. Use helium.
But people who are killing themselves in many cases are screaming out for help. And the kind of person who screams out for help wants to make a mess so that somebody else has to deal with their life and
The kind of person screaming out for help won't use helium because helium will kill them. There's no second guessing. Right. There's no going back. Once you drop that bag, you're dead.
Yeah, probably true.
Yeah, this isn't like cutting your wrist in the bathtub or whatever it is that people do for attention or
I wonder what the percentage, because I'll bet it's very high, of people that kill themselves while drunk. Like, they make a poor decision and they're like, my decisions just suck. I'm going to kill myself. And then the consequence of a drunken action, ends their life.
I don't know.
Because it seems like a likely high number to me.
The number, if you want to join the show, this uplifting episode of Free Talk Live, the number is 603-283-6160. Maybe you were suicidal, you got talked out of it, and your life is better now. You want to comment, you're certainly welcome to.
I mean, there was a friend who, I think she lived in Pennsylvania. I think her name was Sarah. We never actually met, but she was a libertarian, and she was well-known in the Pork Fest circles, and for whatever reason, she killed herself about 5 years ago, pretty much right after I moved to New Hampshire. Sure, it was on Facebook that she had killed herself, and it was tragic. It sucks. Young, beautiful girl, presumably lots of reasons to live for, but none of that means anything to me. She decided she wanted to go, and she went.
In response to charges Trump is facing, according to the Washington Post, some allies have hinted at a violent response, putting authorities on high alert as the hours tick down to Trump's first appearance in federal court, which was earlier today. He was indicted on 37 counts related to classified documents found at his Mar-a-Lago home. And he, by the way, did plead not guilty earlier today on that one. At a rally Monday night in West Palm Beach, Carrie Lake, a Trump ally who lost the Arizona governor's race last fall, said, quote, "They can't arrest all of us. They can't indict all of us. They can't stop all of us. We are so powerful together."
Aww. It's almost uplifting. It's just talking about Trump.
We'll get to more of this. Have the Republicans changed their tune on law enforcement? Coming up.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump has pleaded not guilty to federal charges related to his handling of classified documents. He appeared at an arraignment hearing at a federal courthouse in Miami today. After his arraignment on those federal charges, Trump visited a Miami cafe where he posed for photos and received a warm welcome from a supportive crowd.
A nation is in line, and then they do this stuff, and you see where the people are. We love the people, and you see where they are. You see the crowds.
Trump assured patrons that he was okay. today and denounced the charges against him as baseless. The PGA Tour's commissioner says Congress left the PGA to fend for itself. Jay Monahan wrote to senators in a letter and said their inaction was key to them agreeing to the controversial LIV Golf merger. He wrote that the idea of another decade of expensive and distracting litigation pushed them to partner with LIV. John Schaefer, USA News.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open here if you want to join us. The number is 603-283-6160. Are the Republicans actually changing their tune about law enforcement? That is the question being asked by the Washington Post. Appears to be, I think, an opinion piece. We'll get into that a little bit further here. I am skeptical that they will have any kind of permanent change in their beliefs. The comments here, you're welcome to join. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian, Aria, and Mark here tonight. And speaking of Marks, Mark Warden is with Porcupine Real Estate. He's the founder of Porcupine Real Estate and a longtime sponsor here on Free Talk Live. We've talked, of course, a lot about the libertarian migration here to New Hampshire that is ongoing. It's been going on for two decades now as part of the Free State Project. And many, I think well over 1,000 people moved in 2021, 600, I think, officially moved in 2022. So these last couple of years have been record-setting years for people coming here as part of the Free State Project. But you also have to have somewhere in which to move, and you got to figure that stuff out before you get here, usually. So you can go and sign up for the upcoming webinars that the folks over at Porcupine Real Estate are putting on. They're going to be covering some of the real freedom victories that we've had here in New Hampshire, and also some of the medical freedoms, gun freedoms, best practices for moving to the free state, finding housing here. They're going to cover those things. You can get signed up for them. They're free to attend. Just have to sign up over at move.freetalklive.com. That'll just take you right over to the Porcupine Real Estate sign-up page. Once again, that's move.freetalklive.com. So if you've got questions about the community of liberty-minded people that are up here in New Hampshire, you got questions about the real estate scene, then you definitely want to get connected on these upcoming webinars. Just go to move.freetalklive.com to get signed up. And you can also watch previous ones by going to their YouTube channel, which is called Porcupine Real Estate. We continue here with your calls.
I just want to mention real quick that Porcupine Real Estate will help you with renting as well as buying.
That's right.
I think it's a good idea to rent your first year in New Hampshire just to figure out where you want to be in the state, and that, you know, buying is a kind of a decision that, and oftentimes you really want to commit to for a number of years.
Yep, that's good. That's good advice. Let's go to Major Payne. He's on the line in Michigan. Go ahead, Major.
Yeah, you guys were talking about the whole suicide thing, but one point you know nobody brought up was the how selfish and self-centered it is to do it because of all the pain you leave for the people behind you. A buddy of mine, he had a beautiful wife, three little beautiful tow-headed babies, you know, from like 8 to 3 or something. And he was a good carpenter. He lived around a little pothole lake. He had all the work around the lake there. But, I mean, I've been an independent contractor my whole life, too. And sometimes winters up here get tough, you know. The bean pot gets mighty low. And so Christmas was coming, and he was obviously broke. And he must have tied one on. He was a drinker. But anyway, he got in his head because he had this life insurance policy that if he killed himself, his kids could have Christmas.
Does life insurance cover suicides?
Some of them do.
I don't know. He had some kind of a policy that he figured was going to cover it. Because he died, couldn't be logged as a suicide because he killed himself in his automobile. Okay, there's a T-bone intersection way out in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You got a cornfield on both corners, so you can see traffic coming a half mile away, right? Well, where the straight road comes into the T-bone, there's like a 3-4 foot big cottonwood tree. And so he was barreling at this damn thing, and there was traffic coming. There was a little bar on the corner, and somebody spotted him because he turned around and made that run 2-3 times before the traffic was clear, and then he went headfirst into that damn tree.
Yeah, and I also don't necessarily agree that it's selfish for someone to kill themselves. You know, that there is a lot of variables there.
Think about them kids. Do you think them kids would have rather had candy canes and a new bicycle or their father?
I'm not going to make any assumptions about what those kids would have wanted, man. I don't think you should either.
I think it's a safe bet.
For those children for the rest of their lives.
I don't think that's true.
Well, let me ask you this, Aria. You have stated on the show that, hold on just one second. You've stated on the show that one has a responsibility as a parent to provide certain things to their child, right?
Yeah.
Well, is one of those things being alive the amount of time that you can be alive?
I am not saying it's good for people to kill themselves. I'm saying I don't necessarily agree that it's always selfish to kill themselves. And you're both going to this one example of, okay, but it's selfish to your kids. Okay, well, then let's remove kids from the equation and just have someone who kills themselves again.
But it is a realistic thing. I mean, I
agree that people have a right to end their own lives.
Yeah, I also...
we just keep going right back to, oh, but the kids, won't someone think of the children? And I hate that tactic.
Well, I mean, it is a pretty effed up situation. Major, hang on one sec. I have also known someone who has had this happen where the dad did kill himself. I believe it was a messy one, as a matter of fact. I don't think that he did it in front of the kids, which, of course, would be even more damaging. But it was something where, you know, they were pretty young at the time. And I don't think there's any doubt that it has had some kind of negative or deleterious effect on the lives of those now adult. They've grown up. But that's got to be a tough thing to deal with as a very young child. So I definitely get the argument that if you've got kids, you definitely have... You know, you have an investment that you should probably pull through on.
Sure, but that's very different from saying that suicide is always selfish.
Well, I think that he was pointing out that I didn't hear the words always, and he was pointing out the selfishness that is inherent in suicides. And kids are the easiest thing to go to. I'll give you that.
Saying that it's inherently selfish, Mark, is the same as saying it's always selfish. Jesus Christ.
Selfishness. There is inherent selfishness in suicide.
There isn't.
In some cases... exists more than others.
Well, I think that it is selfish, and I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, we're all selfish. We all do things for ourselves before anybody else.
Okay, in that context, sure, it's selfish.
Yeah, if you don't take care of yourself first, then how can you help anybody else? And similarly, somebody who's committing suicide is thinking about themselves, right? Like they're thinking, oh, you know, whatever their problem is, right? Whether it's they have a terminal illness, and then, of course, most people would agree, that's fine. You know, take your life. That sucks to saddle your kids with that. Or maybe it's just that you are depressed and you don't like, you know, whatever is happening in your life at that moment, and you want to end it all because of you. Right? Like, most people don't kill themselves because of other people. They kill themselves because of what they perceive is wrong with them, I would
say. I don't know, Ian. I'm thinking about this, and, like, this is Aria's point of argument. It really gave me some interesting ways to think about this. But, in fact, the reasons for suicide that I find most acceptable are the ones that are less selfish. So, for instance, if I've got some kind of disease that's going to keep me, you know, just sucking on the family's wealth for month after month, year after year, until I've depleted all my wealth and I don't get to give anything to my kids,
mm-hmm.
You know, please don't make me hang around some babbling, I mean, being a babbling fool and not being able to leave money to my kids. But at the same time, I can see somebody, you know, killing themselves over just being in pain, right? Mm-hmm. Like they have an illness and they're just,
oh,
that's selfish.
Yeah.
It's selfish though, right? Like if you, like say I have a debilitating pain in my back and the only solution I can come up with it is killing myself. I find that acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it is selfish at the same time. So yeah, I guess I'm stuck in some kind of netherworld here. I don't find psychological reasons acceptable, but that's because I always feel like, buck up, camper, you can make it through. It's just the kind of person I am. You know, I don't give much credence to my own psychological problems because I know they can be overcome. So I don't give much credence to anybody else's either. But ultimately, if somebody's crazy enough, they're going to kill themselves if they want to, and you can't stop them.
Indeed. Major, anything else you want to share?
Well, I thought to myself, and I admitted, I told my kids long ago, you know, when I get so old and feeble that I'm no longer of use, I'm not an asset, I'm a liability, I got no problem with taking my deer rifle and going as deep in the woods like that old girl you were talking about with a bottle of whiskey and just taking the long hunt. You know,
Thank you for the call tonight, Major.
That's at the point when everything else is expired, right?
Yep. No, I got you. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
The only difference between that and someone killing themselves because they're depressed is that it's a different place at which they're drawing the line on when they're done.
Yep.
That's the only difference.
And it's true.
It's not my place to say that someone drew their line too early or for bad reasons.
I think that the general idea and my own is that if you've got a working, functional, healthy body, and you want to kill yourself, that it's just such a waste, you know? And
it's not my job for other people to be efficient with their resources.
I'm certainly not.
And you say they're perfectly healthy, but if they're considering suicide, they're not perfectly healthy. You wrote off a lot of mental health conditions there in your little rant, but like...
And I will.
One can be sick in the head, and these entire fields of study are dedicated to people who are sick in the head, and you can wave it off as, oh, just buck up, champ, all you want, but these are real issues that affect real people and can cause suicide.
For those people, the first thing that I would encourage them to do is look into their, not their mental health, but their brain health. That there's probably some habits that they have and probably some injuries that they've sustained that can be addressed that will solve many of the problems they're experiencing. I'm reading a book right now, and, you know, it's by Dr. Ammond, and you can look this stuff up on the internet, and he can do a far better job of explaining it than I can. But, in fact, brain injuries are often the cause of many mental illnesses, and people don't know it. We don't look at it. Psychiatrists don't look at this.
Well, for all we know, you know, someone could just, you know, mind over matter and defeat their cancer and then be perfectly healthy again, right?
Every once in a while, people claim that they do. I mean,
right. So why are you going to allow a terminally ill person who could buck up and just magically feel better to kill themselves, but not someone who's mentally unhealthy? Why are you making different rules for different health conditions?
The reason
all
I'm doing
about
this,
Mark, how
you're
he
right,
feels.
You're asking my opinion and how I feel on it, and I'm giving you that.
Okay, fair enough.
The number, if you want to join us here, is 603-283-6160. You can bring up absolutely anything that you want to discuss. So any other comments on the suicide thing, or are we pretty much done with that?
Okay. I've got nothing else on it.
All right. So
it's a depressing topic.
It definitely is. Oh, there was something else I felt like I had to say on it, but it's eluding me at the moment. So
don't worry. You've got many days to come.
Yeah. So we were looking at this story about the Trump supporters, the right wingers, the Republicans. Are they changing their tune on law enforcement? And the Washington Post had a piece about it here, talking about at least the rhetoric changing somewhat. They say last week, this Carrie Lake person, who is apparently a Trump ally who lost the Arizona governor's race, said she hinted at potential violence when she said any pursuit of Trump would have to go through her and, quote, 75 million Americans, unquote, like her, adding that, quote, most of us are card-carrying members of the National Rifle Association.
Wait, that's not even one in four Americans.
That's card-carrying members of...
Yeah, she's like, you're going to have to go through one in four Americans. Okay.
I mean, if they're armed, then that would be relatively difficult to do. She stressed in a Monday appearance...
Yeah, but these are card-carrying NRA members and, you know, normal Republicans here. This isn't like Ruby Ridge, libertarian-type Second Amendment rights person. Don't take our bump stocks. Oh, you took our bump stocks. Okay, well, don't right. take our... Oh, you took that, too.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And some of the best critics, I think, of the whole Second Amendment viewpoint are that it's just a bunch of fluff, you know, that there's a lot of talk, a lot of hot air out there about how, you know, the government's going to have to, you know, go through us to get our guns.
And well, they clearly are succeeding because, I mean, all they have to do is ban them and you people will turn over your guns.
There was some ban that went in. Oh, it was the brace. They have these braces instead of I can't remember, stocks or something. Pardon me, I don't know all the terminology, but there's a brace ban that went through recently from the BATF.
Triggered half the internet just now, Mark. How dare you?
I know. They I don't know everything about guns, but you know what? What difference does it make?
Blow some shells into that clip, man.
It goes right into the clip. Poing. Just like an M1 Garand. And I probably mispronounced that, too, because I've only read about it in books. So in this case, 9 out of 10 people with these particular braces, they haven't done anything. They haven't reported themselves or done whatever it is that they need to do. So right now, at this very moment, Americans, gun-owning Americans are en masse participating in civil disobedience.
But maybe... I mean, if we knew that these people actually had these devices, then there would be some sort of registry, and, you know, the FBI or ATF or whatever would be pursuing it. So we're just speculating that these people actually had the devices that they claim to have and didn't turn them over.
I would not call it civil disobedience. I think at best you're dealing with non-cooperation.
Okay.
And it also presumes that these people are aware that this has happened, right? Like, I mean, how many people are paying attention?
Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
I understand that. But how many people are actually paying attention to what Congress is banning and what they're not banning? How many
it wasn't
people
Congress.
Are... Okay, the ATF, right? Like, even less likely.
The ATF changed its interpretation of what a stock was.
Yeah, so it's even less likely that people would be aware of it.
Didn't they change the definition of what a gun was to, like, an index card-shaped-sized piece of metal
with
some marks on it?
Yes, a machine gun.
Yeah, qualifies as a gun?
Yeah. She stressed in a Monday appearance on Stephen Bannon's
talk about
show,
what is a woman? Talk about those guys.
That Tuesday's gatherings should be peaceful. Some Democrats have criticized Republicans for using such talk as they seek portraying themselves as the party of law and order, call out left-wing protesters as threats to public safety. Broadly, the Republican response reflects a larger turn the party has taken during the Trump era, as the former president has repeatedly castigated institutions that were once more revered in GOP circles, but have now become targets for relentless criticism. The Republican Party has billed itself as the party of law and order for decades, dating back to Richard Nixon's 1968 campaign, when he coined that phrase to win over voters after a tumultuous period of anti-war demonstrations, riots, and the assassinations of Martin Luther King Jr. and Senator Robert Kennedy.
Are the Democrats upset that the Republicans aren't law and order-y enough? Is that
That's what
you
it's
just
sounding
said?
Like, yes.
They're like, how dare you disrespect our institutions of FBI and their law and order? So the Democrats are the law and order candidates
now? Yes, they are. Yes,
when I was listening to this Lake character that Ian was talking about in the beginning of the article, And I was hearing all the rhetoric that she was saying, and I was applying it to leftists. I don't find any surprise to that verbiage coming out of the mouth of some leftist protester at some leftist event, except for the NRA part. When she mentioned they'll have to come through us and our, you know, 75 million NRA carrying whatever. That admittedly gives it a whole new sound to me.
In many elections that followed, GOP leaders touted their tough-on-crime policies, including Trump, who echoed Nixon's phrase throughout the 2018 midterms and the 2020 election when he argued that voters would be choosing between, quote, law and order on one side and chaos on the other. And, of course, he was touting all the endorsements he got from policing agencies and policing unions and things like that.
Isn't the irony in this that, like, he ran on the campaign of, like, locking up Hillary, it was, like, lock her up or whatever, and, like, mm-hmm. Didn't he toughen up some of the laws in regard to classified information so that, you know,
they
could
convict them under it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've heard that.
That seems like, you know, hoisted by his own petard, as they say, sounds like, is what happened here?
Yeah, I don't know what happened with Trump and Hillary Clinton, but I think this is a very interesting question that Trump voters need to ask themselves, is what happened? Like, did Trump either, A, as the president of the United States, not have the power, the chief executive, not have the power to lock up Hillary Clinton, or B, did he determine that he didn't want to follow through with this campaign promise? Because he did one of the other. I can't think of another option.
It was absolutely B. He never had any desire of having Hillary's a friend of his. He was never going to lock her up. They're buddies.
I don't know the answer to that question. I think he's the kind of guy that holds really deep grudges. And I, in fact, think it's A, that he didn't have the power.
I think it was his campaign rhetoric, man.
Okay. It could be that. But it's one or the other.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, he runs the executive branch as the president, so, I mean, in theory, he should have the power.
So, in theory, he could certainly say to any policing agency, presumably the FBI, mm-hmm. hey, I want thorough investigation of Hillary and that server she had in her basement that was wiped, and her emails, and this and that, and whatever it is else that is claimed to be illegal that she's done. Presumably... And I can't presume anything else. Presumably, he would have the power to have that investigated. Right?
I think you're incorrect, and I think his actual presidency demonstrates that. FBI Director Comey, or whatever his name was, repeatedly was launching investigations into Trump while Trump was president. So, I mean, if the president could just say, no, FBI, you have to investigate this person and not me, then he would have said, call off your investigation into me.
I'm not saying that he could call off, that he could have an investigation called off on himself, but he could certainly, it would presume, as Comey's boss, he should be able to tell Comey, investigate this, and this. As though they
I'm just going to have to watch that Jeffrey Tucker video from Porkfest last year, because he goes over this. And, like, he may be head of the executive branch, but that doesn't mean he has unilateral authority to do whatever he wants within the executive branch.
Well, if you find a link to it, will you please send it to me, too, because I'm interested in watching.
Yeah, I think that essentially makes the argument that he doesn't have the power, right? So,
right. I don't think he has the power, but I also don't think he ever had any intention of pursuing it.
I think you're probably right about that.
Oh, by the way, why don't you post on the Telegram group this same link?
Because I'm going to have to find it.
Okay, well, not right now.
I mean, if people want to, they can look at the Free Talk Live episodes of Porkfest from last year or the year before, because now I don't even remember. But it was one of those episodes that we had Jeffrey Tucker on where he talked about this exact thing and how something that was passed in, I want to say it was the 1890s.
And the idea being that there's this administrative state.
Yeah,
that is just takes on a life of its own.
Yeah, it has tenure, so to speak, and mm-hmm. is sort of immune to the president.
Right, which is why all the talk from Republicans about getting rid of the FBI is, you know, not going to go anywhere.
What was the word you just used?
The administrative state.
That's it, because I think that was the exact terminology that he used, so that's going to help me find it.
Yeah, I think if you look on Brownstone Institute, which is his website, that's where he's working these days, I think he's probably written extensively about that, so just search for that.
I've got a YouTube here. I looked up what you said, Jeffrey Tucker Administrative State Porkfest, and I have from December 9, 2022, the administrative state cannot win, Jeffrey Tucker.
Yeah, that would be it.
For hundreds of years, a secret state has been growing within the state, one that is not subject to elections and tries to insulate itself, da-da-da.
Sure. And we obviously can't play the video here, but he was on the day that he gave that speech to talk about that topic. Or maybe it was the day before he gave that speech or whatever. But it was really good, really compelling episode, and I learned a lot. I wish I could remember the specifics. But the gist of what I learned was that despite being the head of the executive branch, the president is very limited in what they can and can't do to the executive agencies within that branch.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching it.
Carol Vahonsky, a stay-at-home mom from Brevard County, Florida, who attended Lake's event, said, quote, "The Republican Party is the party of law and order, but it should be law and order for everybody. And it seems like they're going after only certain people," she said.
What does she mean by that? Because that's not
Trump specifically.
Yes,
I guess the statement is the alphabet soup agencies are targeting libertarians, which has always been acceptable, and now righties too, and we hate that.
Okay.
Yep. Now that they're going after their guy, now all of a sudden the FBI is a concern for some of these Republicans. Let's see. Tim Scott, another presidential hopeful, called the federal case against Trump a, quote, serious case with serious allegations. But he also said he believed federal investigators were applying a double standard. He says you can't protect Democrats while targeting and hunting Republicans, he said.
Well, I mean, that's exactly it. Hillary was running her own email server, guys, and that it was processing classified information. Like, she definitively, demonstrably mishandled classified information with her email server, but she didn't get charged.
Yeah.
No one's indicting her.
Well, when they asked her about it, she deleted everything. When they asked Trump about it, he refused. He hemmed and hawed and didn't give up the information.
Well, he tried flushing some stuff down the toilet. He tried.
He thumbed his nose at authority.
Polling from Pew Research Center suggests the GOP attacks on the FBI and the Justice Department have had an effect. Only 38% of Republican and Republican-leaning adults said they view the FBI favorably in a survey released in March, and about 40% of those
responded. It was probably 100% of your jury.
Yeah. And about 40% of those respondents viewed the Justice Department favorably. Although Pew's older data is not comparable because of changes in the survey mode and the wording of the questions, an earlier survey showed that before Trump took office, most Republicans had a positive view of the FBI. So at least as far as the polling numbers go, things are shifting. But once the Republicans get control in D.C., I expect all of those numbers will reverse.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.